Good morning, everyone. This is Pracha Yang, the technical nerd. It's Tuesday, February 27th, podcast number 2. I wanted to start off with talking about working hard and how do you work hard and what's defined in working hard. Last time in my podcast 1, I talked about the fundamentals, but at the end, I mentioned that you should work hard in order to get where you need to be. And so I just want to define that a little bit. What is working hard and how do I get myself to be working harder? So the way I define working hard is in two different ways. You need these two ethics or work ethics to really be able to have the mindset of working hard. The first one is to, make sure you're able to go into work every day, no matter how boring or tedious your job is. You need to go in and work. Have a strong enough work ethic that you can persevere through all the bullshit that happens at work and all the boring, tedious tasks that you do every day at work, and you just grind it out. Go to work, grind it out, and be able to, do the work. And, at the end of the day, you go home. The other part to working hard, and just because your work is tedious and boring doesn't mean that you're stuck doing it that way. Find a better way. Work smarter. Just because you work hard doesn't mean you can't work smarter either. So work hard. And make sure you go to work, do what you need to do for the day, but also figure out how to do it faster. Make it easier for yourself so that, those boring, tedious tasks are completed quicker, and now you can start working on fixing other issues that's going on around you or your workplace. That's how I define working hard, and that's how I came to the realization of how working hard needs to be. You gotta, have a strong work ethic that you can go to work every day, do your job, no matter how boring or tedious it is, and you need to be able to go into work and work smarter also, because nobody wants to do the same thing every day. It's just not that practical, especially if you want to be able to move up in the world of your career. So let's go a little bit deeper into working smarter. How do you work smarter? I mean, if you're already thinking you're working smarter, then maybe you're doing a good job already. I'm not going to go into working hard to where you come in every day. I mean, that's just something you gotta do. You come in, you do your work, and make sure you do a good job at it, whatever you're doing. But working smarter, I mean, let's expand that a little bit. Let's talk about it a little bit more to make sure everybody gets how to work smarter. I'm just throwing makeup situations out there, but let's say you have a task. Whatever this task is that you do every day, it's the same task you do every day. And let's say it normally takes you 10 minutes to do that task. And you do that specific task about 10 times a day throughout your day. That's 100 hours, 100 minutes out of your day that you have to spend doing this particular task. And so you're using 100 minutes throughout the day. That's a little bit over an hour and a half every day that you have to do this task throughout the day. So in order to work smarter, let's say you figure out a way to reduce this task from 10 minutes down to 7 minutes. Now, instead of 100 minutes throughout the day, you're only spending 70 minutes throughout the day, and you have an extra 30 minutes to finish other things. So now, instead of spending over an hour and a half to do this, now you're only spending an hour and 10 minutes to perform these tasks throughout the day. So let's dive into a real life situation. You know, the other day I was talking to my neighbor, and we were talking about Technical Nerd and how I'm trying to build up this as a brand. And then I, he started talking about his workplace, what's going on, and so I was like, let's dive more into it. Let's see what's going on. So I asked him, because he's in it every day. He knows what's going on. I mean, you know what the problems are at work. It's just that you may not think about it in a way that helps you work smarter. And so I started asking him, hey, so what's your number one, issue? And he's a mechanic, a bus mechanic, by the way. So I'm like, what's your number one issue? What's the biggest problem you have at work? Not relating to people, right? Because you can't really control people, but you can control the process, and you can make process changes to improve the work environment. So I asked him, what's your number one issue that you have to deal with every day that, could be better? And he says, check engine lights. I'm like, check engine lights? What does it have to do with anything? So he starts to explain the check engine light issue. So every day, the drivers of the bus keeps a log of what goes on in the bus. And so if there's any issues, they log it down. The mechanics checks them. And so he tells me, okay, so check engine light. What are the fixes for the check engine light? What's the most common fix for the check engine light? And he told me what it was. I can't remember what the specific details are for the repair of the check engine light, but he told me what it was, and I say, and then I ask him, out of all the check engine light issues that comes up, how often, what is the percentage of this issue resolving the problem? And what is the solution to the problem? He says, improper diagnosis in the morning or when they perform diagnosis on the bus. So I say, okay, improper diagnosis on the bus. How often do you think improper diagnosis happen? And he couldn't really give me an answer to how often those misdiagnoses occur. So he couldn't really give me the numbers of how often it occurred. So I started making up numbers for it to help him understand the situation a little bit better and help him think about what he can do or why he should start thinking about fixing this. And so let's say that his workplace has, they in 1 month, right, they do 100 bus diagnoses. And in that month, out of 100 bus diagnoses, 50 of them came back for a check engine light issue. And out of those 50 that came back for a check engine light issue, 25 of them were due to the cause of the issue that they could have prevented the first time due to improper diagnosis. So instead of performing the proper diagnosis on the, in the beginning, every time the check engine light comes back, in order to determine what's wrong with it, they have to perform another diagnosis in order to figure out what caused the check engine light. And so now, out of those 25 that came back for the issue that could have been caught, they're spending an extra 25 hours, right? Because I asked him, how long does it take to do a diagnosis? And he says, in 1 hour. So they're spending 25 extra hours every month, or however often this occurs, to perform the diagnosis and then the fix. If this was caught in the beginning, they could have saved 25 extra hours and fixed it before the bus went out and never, it should have never came back in. So 25 hours every month that you're wasting on diagnosing buses because of an improper diagnosis. And again, remember, I'm making up these numbers to help my neighbor understand and realize and think about the situation a little bit more in terms of numbers instead of the issue at hand. And so, you know, I did some Google searching and found out that a level 2 mechanic, and I'm assuming some of them are level 2 mechanics in order to perform this. So a level 2 mechanic makes about anywhere from, on average, $22 to $23 an hour. So if you do 25 hours times 300, I mean, 25 hours times 12 months, that's 300 hours a year, right? And then you times that by 22, that's $6,600 that you're wasting in labor just repairing, diagnosing these buses. So what if you could spend that $6,600 somewhere else? You know, what if, and instead of wasting it on misdiagnosis, you're spending it on repairing other buses? Or maybe you instead of hiring a full-time person, you hire a part-time person. I mean, there's so much money to be saved here. Imagine if you were the mechanic that went up to your boss and said, I can save us an extra 25 hours or $6,600 a year in misdiagnosis that we can do in other places. I mean, just think about that. You went up to your boss and says, I can save this much money. Imagine what your boss will do for you, or your company would do for you, if you can tell them that you're saving them, you know, $6,600 a year. I mean, just think about that. So let's end it at that. Let me know what you think. Leave me a question, comments, and I'll get back to you as soon as I can. Just remember, learn your fundamentals, solve the problems, get promoted. Thank you for listening.